The Ranveer Show is all about getting you different kinds of human beings from different walks of life. Now, Rahul Subramanian is one of India's top stand-up comics today. I'm personally really not into stand-up comedy. There's very few people who can capture my attention for 10 minutes and then make me laugh through those 10 minutes. This guy is one of those people. If you don't believe me, go watch a series of videos called Crowdwork by Rahul Subramanian. He's basically just interacting with the crowd, making up some jokes on the spot, being witty on the spot, and it's some of the best humor that you'll come across on the Indian internet. This guy's also got a heart of gold. He's finished his engineering, his MBA, worked at a top corporate, and then switched over at the age of around 30, and now he's a stand-up comic. He's one of the top mainstream comics in India today, but he's also got one of the nicest hearts and one of the sharpest minds in the business. That's what I've tried exposing through this episode of The Ranveer Show. Not too many jokes, but lots of inspirational stories, lots of inspirational anecdotes, and lots of inspirational nuggets of wisdom. There's an extremely deep, motivated mind inside this guy. That's why I wanted to bring him on the podcast. So without further ado, actually, hold on. I'm not going to let you all slip into the podcast that easily. Make sure you subscribe to The Ranveer Show Clips on YouTube. It's the shorter version of this podcast. So if you're doing like a 1 hour long episode, it's just 3 to 5 minute clips, the best bits from each episode. It's a new YouTube channel and we need all the support from all our podcast listeners. Thank you for making this one of India's top podcasts. Now let's go make that channel one of the world's biggest YouTube channels. And without further ado, Rahul Subramanian on The Ranveer Show. Rahul S, thank you for being on the Ranveer Show, bhaiya.
Thank you, Ranveer. It's a pleasure. It's
great having you here.
I'm very excited for this because I have no idea what to expect.
Usually, I prep a lot for my podcasts. Hmm. With you, I've not prepped.
Yeah, that's because there's not much.
Yeah, you got to do some crowd work on me.
I will, man. I'll do whatever it takes, man.
So
because I have to come out of this this podcast as people should see this and say that this is the best podcast Ranveer has done.
Yes. I think it will be. Now, crowd work, for those of you who don't know, is Rahul Subramanian's viral videos that recently went up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in my office has been watching this stuff.
Like, awesome.
It's being recommended to everyone. So it's basically you interacting with the crowd and on the spot coming out with jokes and all that. So, bro, my obvious question to you is, how are you so witty on the spot? Because if most humans had this skill, people's careers would be flying, people's lives would be better, and people would get a lot more relationships in their life.
Okay, first of all, thanks for the kind words. Let me just give you some context. First of all, crowd work is not a new concept. Crowd work has been a subgenre of stand-up comedy. And if you go to the West, and most of the modern Indian stand-up is influenced by the West. So, वहाँ पर बहुत होता है crowd work and it's a legit art form. Or the
how do you get better at it? But
by doing it more. So by any other thing, Ranveer, you just keep doing it more. Your mind becomes wired to, it's so alert after a point of time.
Bro, and like so, the jokes just fall into your head. You know what will be funny.
Yeah, you just trust your instincts. Now beyond a point, it is, and you know the vibe of the place. You know the audience. You know the person you're talking to, and you already know. It's like a footballer who knows. Like there are sometimes when he cuts, when Ronaldo cuts from the left wing, he knows he's going to shoot. It's going to go in.
Yeah.
It's just the vibe. And some days you know it won't go in. Also, so it's a mix of both. But it's basically doing it over and over again, like any other thing. Right. So your mind is wired now.
Yeah.
So anyone who does it for enough amount of time, you will become
better.
You'll become way better than what you are. And yeah.
Bro, so, when Ronaldo cuts, he's actually practiced that cut 2,000 times in practice.
Correct.
So, and I know you on a personal level. I know that there's a lot of preparation you put behind your work. Like, it's a very silent preparation. You're a very, like, silent hustler kind of guy, which people don't know. Like, I remember once you told me ki there was a phase in your life where every day you train your mind by tweeting out a joke all the time. You were very serious about that one tweet that you were putting out.
Yes.
So even for something like crowd work, are you actually studying other comics? Is there like a lot of prep that goes on?
So crowd work, so first of all, yes, I do that. And it's not so much to, it's more like a requirement. Every day I have to put, I try and put at least some joke on LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. Now I'm not on Twitter anymore because everyone's too kind there. So So it's exercise, right? It's exercising your brain to keep thinking. Mm. It's not about coming up with the best jokes on LinkedIn or Twitter, but it's or Facebook. It's to exercise your mind. As far as crowd work is concerned, because I've done so much stand-up, I have a sense for what is funny and what is not, because you have done stand-up. So you know when on stage what you say is funny or not. The preparation for crowd work, which might sound very counterintuitive, is to not think of comedy. The idea is to have a conversation with someone, have a genuine conversation. So when I'm talking to someone in the audience, I'm not trying to make, oh, the first thing, I'm from Malad. Oh, Malad, passport. I'm not trying to put that person down. I'm genuinely trying to have conversation with that person. Mm. And the secret is that in truth, there is humor. So the more you genuinely try, be interested, the humor will come. Mm. So that's the, and for that, for me to have a genuine conversation with you, the best thing is if I have had nothing in my mind before I start talking to you.
Yeah.
So if I have a good sleep before a show and then one nice, strong black coffee, that's the best preparation.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so that's what I try to do, which is very difficult. And I remember we talk about meditation and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You have told me it's difficult to not think anything, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So as close as I can get to that, the better the show is.
Yeah, we'll get to meditation in a bit. Oh, I want to ask you, bro, but so if there's a guy who's listening to this podcast and who wants to be like, nah, even I want to be witty because the next time I'm talking to a girl, I want to impress her. Mm-hmm. What is your advice for that guy? Genuinely listen to the girl?
First of all, if you want to impress a girl, I don't think so. Wit is, if you think wit is the only thing that is going to impress someone, then there's lots more for you to discover. It's about... And not everyone has to be witty.
Mm.
And it's also very subjective. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are way wittier than me. A lot of comedians who are way wittier than me. So there is always some place that I can go to. If you like it, that's the main thing. If you enjoy, I enjoyed this. Ever since I was in school, I remember I was part of plays. I was part of extempore elocutions and debates. I loved going on stage and talking and being on my feet. So it's part of some, you know, it's been part of me and I like doing it. And that's why I'm more invested in it. Yeah. And that's why I like to do it more.
Bro, like somewhere in your heart, do you want to become a top 5 stand-up comic in the world?
No, yeah, I used to. Very genuinely, honestly speaking, I wanted to at some point. Like around 2 years back, that was like, I want to be recognized as one of the best comedians in the world. Now my goalposts has changed. I have realized that with lot of, when you go to become the best, at least in my experience, you also lose out on a lot of things.
Like
I think the pressure to be the best actually takes something away from your personal life, from your, you know, the time you spend with your family, the peace of mind, which for me, I'm sure there are people who might be able to balance it much better, but I have seen that I'm not able to. So I've taken the pressure off me now. I like to play football. Mm. I like to go for a run. I like to watch my Netflix. I like to spend days every now and then where I'm not doing anything. God. So as long as I'm on stage and I'm enjoying, and there are people who are, enough people to come and watch me, I think that's a, I'm happier that way.
God.
So, and if in this process I become the best, it's fine, but that's not the, being the best is not the end goal.
Right. Bro, I really want to ask you this. And this is going to be a little rude to some of the listeners. And I'm just going to be really genuine and honest here with you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Slightly nervous.
I've hung out with a lot of people from the stand-up comedy space.
Uh-huh. I'm so sorry, bro.
Okay. So, you know...
You didn't have to go through that, bro. So I'm sorry.
It's a very toxic world, dude. Like, I'm just going to be straight up with you.
Uh-huh.
And I see a lot of arrogance and I see a lot of negativity, like cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like one of the few guys I've met who's really positive, really humble. You talk to everyone as if they're equals. Mm-hmm. And I've not seen that in the stand-up comedy space. Why is it just the Indian stand-up comedy space? Is it generally the stand-up comedy space all over the world?
Okay, huh. So I'll first tell you this. What you said about me, I feel the same about few comedians. So like few comedians I love talking to because I feel they're so genuine and they're so sweet. Like Kumar Varun, Anirban Das Gupta, then Shrija Chaturvedi, Vaibhav Setia, Saurabh Ghosh. I feel the same about them. So when I look at them, I feel like, you know, there is a gap that I want to close to. I'm not sure if it's very toxic or not. But I know for a fact, because I've worked as a brand manager, I've worked in the corporate world. I know that any industry that you work in, when the industry grows, the competition grows. And when the competition grows, it also first of all, number of people in it grows. Mm. And because of it, you get all kinds of people.
Mm.
And it's a tough job. Being a comedian is like, you have one shot every, and that's it. It's like, you're just remembered by your last game types. You're your own master, right? You decide what content is good. You decide what joke you want to do, what joke you don't want to do. So there's a lot of pressure that comes. And I do believe that this pressure might get the best of us at times. And some of us at different stages of our comedian life might come across as rude, come across as selfish, arrogant, insensitive. But I really think it's a learning process. Everyone goes through that process.
Mm.
And there is no handbook, na, Ranveer. Hamare paas koi nahi. So like 7 years down the line, I didn't even know stand-up comedy as a profession existed.
Mm.
Right? If I was a marketing guy, which I was, at any point I used to get stuck like, kya ho raha pata nahi, it's so confusing. There's always someone I can go back to who has done it for 20 years. Mm-hmm. There is no handbook. Everyone's figuring things out on their own. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're bound to make mistakes.
Is there politics?
Not as much as corporate world. So my comparison is definitely with the corporate world. Again, I think it's a function of how the time.
Mm.
Comedy industry is still very young.
Mm.
So the politics, even if it is there, it's very college level politics. Uh-huh. You know, it's the kind of politics that someone who has worked in a corporate field will look at and feel like, "Arey, kya bachpan hai?" You know, and it's more or less harmless.
Is
what I have experienced. Again, everyone's experience is different.
Is there a lot of money in the Indian stand-up comedy space?
At least for the top 10-20%, it is. The people who have started 5-6 years.
Kitna?
Okay, I don't know how to put a number to it because for example, I'm earning comfortably more than what I used to in my corporate job.
Hmm.
Say, I'm an MBA. I started working in the corporate field as a brand manager in the year 2011.
Hmm.
MBAs are well paid.
Hmm.
And if I had continued doing that job, I would have still not earned as much as I'm earning now. Hmm. So it's because I started off at a right time. I took that risk maybe at a right time.
Hmm.
So there is a lot of money because also if you see, comedians are everywhere these days, you know, college shows, corporate shows, brand work, everywhere we are there, right? Anyone wants to write script for IFA, script for Filmfare, they're hiring comedians. They hire comedians to write screenplays. So we are there, Instagram, we are there. We are influencers, live performers, we are YouTube video brands, we are there. So everyone likes comedy. It's low investment. It's a good laugh. Like people feel nice after looking at a comedy show. You want to hire if you want to hire a band for a college show, you have to pay for like the 10 people of the band, their equipment, all of them have to stay like 4 hours of whatever, sound check. If you hire a comedian, you just get that one person, maybe one manager, one mic is all. See, this is it.
Hmm.
I can do a stand-up comedy performance here. So there is money because it's easily access. It connects well. And there is definitely money because people are spending on it.
Yeah.
But I think at this point of time, because the industry is going, the top 10-20%, I'm sure, earns a lot.
Hmm.
And then like any other industry, for any newcomer, it's going to be tougher every year to break through.
Right. Bro, coming back to engineering days.
Oh, lovely.
So you were in Vesit, I was in DJ Sangvi. It's kind of two rival colleges.
Yes. Only thing is Vesit did not know it had a rival because it was so into itself that we had no idea.
No. But I always used to bitch about engineering college, maybe till, say, 2 years back.
Uh-huh.
I used to be like, oh, you know, 4 years of my life wasted, this, that, because there was nothing. And now when I actually look back, I appreciate it. Because I feel like engineering college, you don't learn a lot from the syllabus, you learn from the people around you. Because you're with a lot of mathematical minds and all. Even if they've not done well in exams, everyone's thoda jugadu, thoda logical. So you learn life jugad from them. And then that engineering, see, engineering teaches you what? This is a mic in front of us. So any object, you look at it and say, okay, what does this do? How does this stand?
Yeah.
What's inside the mic? How is it picking up our sound? And like, how is it being transferred to the wire?
It touches the curiosity in a person. Yeah. 100%. Like how and why. Yeah.
So now, because you see the whole world through that how and why, your brain works slightly faster, which you can apply in your business, which you can apply in your work.
Mm-hmm.
I've applied a lot on the edit table when we are editing YouTube videos to just do jugaad.
So your engineering background has helped you in that
100%.
Sense. Yeah.
What do you think engineering added to your life?
When you say no, I've also looked back and said, "Arey, about 4 years, if I had not done engineering, you know, I could have done something." Because career-wise, I'm not doing anything which is engineering-related. But then it's also true that Ranveer, there is nothing that we can plan to perfection in our life. Mm. The beauty of life is that there is a level of uncertainty.
Mm.
So it's always, you know, better at hindsight. Main waisa karta to waisa hota. Nahi hota aisa life. To boring ho jata life if everything was planned.
Mm.
So Now, from that perspective, engineering was amazing, man. Because I made some of my best friends in life are from my engineering college. Mm. And those 4 years, like you said, it was a struggle to pass exams. I remember the struggle. I remember not understanding what I'm studying.
What stream were you in?
Computers.
Okay. Coding, shoding.
Yeah, yeah. Easier of that. But I remember the basic electrical engineering and engineering.
I got a KT in basic electrical engineering.
I survived, man. Yeah. I just somehow cleared. Thank God to Kirchhoff Baba.
You got any KT?
No.
Okay.
I got 40 in mechanics in the first sem. I had attempted 51 and I was just... I have never been so religious. From the day I gave my mechanics paper till the results, that was, I think, the most religious I was ever. But yes, it did teach us to finish assignments on time. And I remember it was to be ridiculous, man. We had to do things which was... We have to run, race against time.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember there were times when I've been awake the whole night, just writing, yeah, just to finish things on time.
And the writing was actually just Xerox copying. Like you had to just kind of read someone else's answers and just copy that. That was the work in engineering.
It didn't teach you engineering, but it taught you time management. It taught you being efficient, you know, and getting work done. Jugaad.
Yeah.
So I miss my engineering. I don't miss the engineering subjects, but I do miss my engineering days.
Does it give you any skill set for today? For what Rahul Subramaniam is doing today?
I'm sure it has. It has shaped my aptitude for sure. I'm sure it has shaped the way I approach things. The analytical side to me, for sure. Like you said, there is a bit of inquisitiveness. There is a sense of curiosity which engineering kind like slightly sharpens. So I'm sure it's done that. Definitely, I think anything I've studied, be from school, junior college, engineering or MBA, all of them have shaped me. And engineering is, it comes at the sweet spot. Now you just turned an adult, end of your teens. You are generally, you have that attitude, like, main kuch bhi kar sakta hun, main achieve kar sakta hun. And at that time, engineering comes and like quietens you, like, nahi tu kar sakta. It teaches you to be humble and and you make great friends, man.
Yeah, 100%.
And your friends shape you.
Bro, about MBA, I've not done an MBA. And I don't think I'm going to do it because there's too many things happening in my life. I want to know what I've missed out on.
You've missed out on 2 years of adult fun.
Okay. Bolo.
Dude, I'll tell you what's the difference between engineering and MBA. Engineering, you do engineering at a time when you're just turned 18, 17, whatever. Huh? And... the college also doesn't trust you to be adults. They're like, you've just come here. Tumko kya pata? You've just taken the membership of adulthood. You'll take your time. So there's a lot of restriction and you're also slightly crazy. But when you're doing your MBA, like I did after 2 years of WorkEx. First of all, by the MBA, no one tells you that you can, because you're adults, man. Tum 23, 24 saal ke ho. Tumko kya hi bolega? 22 saal ke ho. Also, you've earned. So there's some money which... as an adult is great to have. Also, you value college life more. Once you finish your graduation and then you start working and stuff, you miss college life. You know, there are times when you're like, yaar, I miss that. And MBA is like a second chance at that. So, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So, when I did my MBA, those 2 years, I valued it so much. I enjoyed every second of it. And I had money and there was no restriction. So it was like the best resort experience ever. It was like a holiday experience.
But the way engineering makes your brain develop, does MBA also do that?
It's MBA ka biggest advantage is peers. Because when you do an MBA, and especially if you do it from a good college, what happens is the people you study with, they are smart to a certain, you know, there's a lot of them are smarter than you. The more you hang out with them, you gain a lot of things. So that's what happened in my B. I had so many of my friends and my, you know, people who studied with me, way smarter, like so different perspectives. And those 2 years also broadened my perspectives. Got so as far as studies is concerned, I did not study that much. So I did bare minimum engineering style ki pass hone ke liye jitna. So I didn't gain much from that, but I gained a lot from my peers and yeah, people I hang out with.
Why do parents push their kids to do an MBA? Like, what is this vibe? Is it just job security? Like, what's happening?
I think first of all, it's changing. It's a very, the previous, our parents' generation way of thinking. Because most of middle-class parents have struggled a lot to get where they are. So, in their mind also, the security of their children is so important for them that they don't want their children to be insecure or be in a state where they So I think MBA and engineering, these are things which generally give you some kind of safety net, na?
Got it.
So that's why I think that's where they are coming from, because it's driven by the context that they have been brought up from. But if you see now, like Ranveer, you won't be, like take stand-up comedy. There are so many 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids who are taking up stand-up comedy. And it's a legit profession for them. Which means their parents are also kind of okay with it. Which is great. I couldn't have thought, like 18, 19-year-olds, to when I was 18, I couldn't have even dreamt of doing something which is different from what I did. So I think that's it. It's a basic sense of security. They just want their kids to be secure, yaar. Taki life mein they don't face any issues. They have job. They earn money. I think it's coming from that.
Have you had like dark moments in your life?
Dark moments in the sense?
Like when you were at your corporate job and you knew it wasn't, you know, your vibe in life.
Yeah. So last, I think I did my first open mic in 2014. But somewhere around mid-2013, you just get a sense at some point, like, I've done my MBA. There's no more college life to look after. And this is it. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So that used to keep eating me every day. And I was like, I was not enjoying my work that much. I was decent at it, but that doesn't mean I'm enjoying it. So it was like, oh my God, am I going to do this for the rest of my life? So that used to keep eating me.
Does that happen to a lot of people?
I can take a guess. I think so.
But people don't quit their jobs.
It's tough to quit your job, yeah, Ranveer.
Why?
Because like I said, look at me, I've come from this background. Engineering karna hai, uske baad MBA karna hai, secure job lena hai, and then you go up the ladder. That's it. Your whole life ka path is fixed. Itne range mein it is fixed. You don't even know there's something beyond that. Tumko to lagta yehi hai boundary. And then it's a race in that. So you're like very con, and if you're not enjoying that race, and then suddenly it's, oh my God, this is, I'm going to be a part of this race for the rest of my adult life, a race that I don't even enjoy, and I have to still compete. It's stifling. But you don't know what is the solution. So for a long time, I was feeling uncomfortable, but I had no idea what is the right thing to do. Or is there even a right thing to do? It's almost like you succumb, like, huh, maybe there's something wrong with me. I have to be more focused. No, I have to, you know, nahi aisa thodi hota yaar, kaam acche se karo, kaam karo, improve ho kaam mein. So you try and find solutions which are not really solutions, and then you go after them. And go after the wrong goalposts.
So stand-up just like randomly happened to you. I know you got an opportunity to do stand-up at a random corporate show. People clapped, and then that was a turning
point. No, actually stand-up happened. The first time it happened was 2014 May. And I remember this was one of those days I had applied for a job. So first of all, my mind was like, "Are corporate branding is not for me." You're looking for an escape from what you're doing, but you don't realize that you're going to escape that and go get into another thing, which will end up the. Samajh mein nahi aata na wo. So I got placed in an FMCG company. I got an offer, and I was like, "Yes, FMCG is what I want to do." That was my brain saying, "No, this I'm not enjoying this because this is corporate branding. FMCG marketing is what I'll enjoy." But then I had a conversation with my brother and one very close friend of mine, both of them who are from an MBA background also. And while talking to them, they were like, "Rahul, we don't really think this FMCG marketing is what going to help you. It's almost," they were like, they questioned because the way I was saying, I was not convinced, you know, I was just saying out things, you know, yes, I'm looking forward to it, but I was not looking forward to it. They're like, "Do you really want to do it?" And that question, you know, it's very scary because you know in your mind, I don't want to. But abhi option kya aur? And then I want to do it. But they're like, "No, we don't think so." And they're like, "Ye job to aate jaate rahega. Just take time and, you know." So that was a hard-hitting moment.
Plus, I think in your late 20s, as an Indian guy, just the way Indian society is built, there's a lot of financial pressure on a lot of Indian guys. So was money pressure also a thing back then?
Not really. Because I wasn't thinking money at that point because, like I said, an MBA job, brand management job, pays you decently.
So you had some stash in the
way. I had savings. And, you know, I was not thinking money at that point of time. I was just trying to figure out what, kya karna kya hai, yaar. I was like, FMCG mil gaya, ye to sahi hai. And then two of the people who I'm very close to look at me and say, "Is this what you want to do?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, I don't want to do this." But why are you asking? I thought, mil gaya na ek solution, tum aur kya sochne rakh rahe ho. It's very, you know,
choking.
It's very choking. Because you know, deep down you know, this is not what you want to do. And someone has just pointed that out to you, it's very uncomfortable. But so that's when I decided, ki I have to find something to at least At least something which I enjoy doing. Mm. Forget money or something. At least the start has to be, I have to enjoy. Mm. That's how I stumbled upon stand up. And I did my first open mic. And of course, and it was terrifying. It was horrible. Mm. It was like the, I said no to the job. I did my open mic. I bombed. I was so bad. I was so bad that it was self-deprecating beyond a point. You know, I felt humiliated.
Like people didn't laugh. People didn't clap.
And rightly so. I was just stammering for 3 minutes. There was nothing funny that I said. People were all, there were 9 people in the audience. I went up last at 12:15 a.m. in Bandra. 9 people, out of them, 7 of them almost dead. 2 of them giving them CPR. And they were just waiting for it to get done so that they can pack the chairs and they can close the room. And I was, that time everything came down crumbling. I was like, shit, I've already said no to a FMCG job. Kya kar raha hu main? And I did this and I'm not even good at this.
What did you do that night after going home?
I did cry after the year. I cried all the way from Bandra to BKC. Then from there, I had to go to Bhandup. But Bandra to BKC, I cried. Because you can't cry all the way to home. No? At some point, tears also stop. I'm kitna hi rolling at some point. So I felt bad. Next day morning, I got up. And there's something about mornings, no? There's a ray of sunlight. You're having your coffee or chai. There's positivity. Mm. I was like, how can I give up? Mm. Yeah. So I went again. I did again. And then that's the trick. Like you asked me, the more you do, you get comfortable.
Your second show was good?
Second show was better than the first. That's all it required. The second show, the role of the second show in my life was not to be funny. The role of second show in my life was to be better than the first show. Mm. There has to be an upward progress. And that is what it was. Second show, I didn't stammer. I spoke for 4 minutes. 2 jokes they laughed at. Mm. It's not great. Mm. But I was like, you know what? I was better than what I was in the first one. That gives you confidence. The third show, even better. Fourth, even better. Fifth, again, down.
Why? Overconfidence.
No, it also is a nature of... At that point, I didn't know. But that's the nature of this
industry.
Yes, you will do the same joke. Twice, it will work really well. The same joke, you'll do it again and no one will laugh. Mm. Maybe the audience is different. Maybe you're not feeling it. Maybe the environment. But it's part of... Now I know. Now it doesn't bother us. Now comedians, if we do 5 open mics, 3 of them will bomb and we know it is okay. It's by that point of time. So that's also a lesson. You keep doing it and let it come. Let these failures come. They are not really failures. They're just, every failure is, it takes you 1 step closer to your next success. You know, chalo ye nikal gaya. Matlab success is somewhere around.
Right, I like that, bro. Uh-huh. But like, how long back was this? 2015?
2014, I did my first open mic in May. I was working with Mahindra. I continued working with Mahindra till 2016. I did stand-up and my job together. And then around 2016, I had to make a choice because I couldn't focus on both then. Mm. You know, it was getting very difficult for me.
So in these last 4 to 6 years... Mm. What are 3 things you've learned about life?
So very basic things. First of all, you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm. How much ever you try to plan, you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm. And I think at some, embrace it, it's fun. Embrace the uncertainty. Mm. Don't be scared of it, just embrace. So that's one lesson, I think. Second thing, I think the more honest you are to yourself.
Authentic.
Yeah, and it's got nothing to do with it being the right thing to do. But I think the more authentic and honest you are to yourself, life is so much funner. I'm talking specifically fun. I'm not even saying life is better, nicer. It's more fun, the more authentic you are, you know? Because there's no baggage, there's no guilt. And that's so freeing. And the more free you are, the more fun you are. Third thing is third thing is don't take advice from anyone. The only advice is don't take advice from other people about what you should do. Maybe listen to them, but don't ask for advice. Do it yourself. Make your own mistakes. Making mistakes is so much fun.
Mm. Yeah, one motto I have in life is first do, then think. Don't think and then do.
Oh, Rahul Gandhi also the same thing. First, first say, then think as to what he said.
Not say, do. Like, I believe in action. Yeah, yeah. I feel like action, execution, all that will really teach you way more than that.
I mean, theek hai yaar. Girl, I have to tell you one incident, okay? This is during my Mahindra days. I used to take a train from Chembur to Parel via Kurla. So one day when I was coming back, one of those normal days, you know, Parel station packed. Your whole aim, goal in life is to get inside the train. That's your task. And somehow if you get inside the train and tumko jaga mil gaya khade rehne ka, matlab it's an achievement. Such a petty achievement, but that's what you're fighting for every day. You know, one of those days I was there, a lot of people got in at some station, two people started fighting, standard. तूने पैर क्यों मारा, मैंने थोड़ी पैर मारा, तूने मारा, अरे तू नहीं मारा मेरे को, अबे तू जानता नहीं है, अरे तेरे को क्या पता है, तू कभी ट्रेन में गया है क्या, अरे मैं हर दिन ट्रेन में जाता हूँ, जब पैदा भी नहीं हुआ. एंड दे आर फाइटिंग, ओके, एंड पीपल आर लाइक फक, व्हाट द फक, नो वन गिव्स अ फक बिकॉज़ दे आर ऑल लाइक बिजी इन देयर ओन वर्ल्ड. एंड एट वन पॉइंट ड्यूरिंग दिस इंटरेक्शन ही सेड समथिंग, अरे तुझे पता भी है क्या, एंड लाइक अरे, एंड दिस गाय स्टॉप्ड इन बिटवीन, अरे, एंड ही वाज लाइक यार ये भी कोई लाइफ हुआ क्या. and that moment he just realized like what the fuck am I doing. There was 10 seconds silence and everyone resonated. There was one moment, there was like a crowd, like all of us laughed. That was one moment. It was his mic drop moment. It was life ka mic drop moment. And even the guy he was fighting with couldn't help smiling, because at that point I think all of us looked back at our lives and just like, what the fuck are we doing? You know that moment of truth that you face, what the fuck am I doing? And that just, that was just beautiful, man. I don't know if that guy is watching this, if he remembers, but that was if I ever make a web series or something, no, I want to put that. Definitely. Yeah, but that's, yeah. Don't you feel sometimes, don't you all feel sometimes, hey, what the fuck am I doing?
Sometimes. When there's like Avanti like happening around. But I also feel rude, like YouTube has it, it sucks you into its own, like,
yeah,
it sucks you into its own bubble. I don't know if you feel like that.
Yeah, it does. Everything creator is a bubble, you know. The moment I step out of the moment I meet friends who are not from the comedy world and I start saying, "Are ye hua wo," that's when I realize, looking at the reaction, is dude, there is way more to life than just what I'm doing. I have to get out of the But we do that, na? Like even when you're driving, sometimes someone cuts and you yell at them, and they yell back. Because when you're driving, it's no one's mistake. It's always the other person's mistake. And sometimes and there are moments when I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I fighting with this? Why am I doing this? Why am I wasting 10 minutes of my time fighting with someone who I have no idea with?
Yeah.
Thing which we also do on YouTube with comments and stuff. Why am I doing that? Just, you know.
Right now, what do you feel about life? Like, because like comedy has worked out, dude. Do you still feel like that?
I don't know if comedy has worked out or not. Comedy has definitely...
Why do you say that?
Huh?
Why do you say that you don't
know? I don't know what is the definition of worked out.
Bro, like you're like a mainstream top stand-up comic in India.
I don't know about that. Okay. Honestly, am I mainstream?
Yeah, yes.
I'll tell you what. I am very happy doing comedy. Like my life, I can't believe there are days when I get up and I can't believe that this is my life, that I'm actually telling jokes for a living. So it is great. So I don't even, it's not about the popularity, and I'm not even that. I go through airports and maybe two people recognize me, which is amazing. It's validation ka validation, and you have your privacy. So that's the level of fandom I have, unlike what you have. So this is a great place for me. So I'm very happy. I'm extremely happy that I'm doing it. I get up with... The amount of peace of mind I have now is way more than what I had when I was in a corporate job. So, I love this. Yeah. I love doing this and I want to keep... I don't want to think, kal kya hoga? Because main kal kya hoga soch ke nahi pahuncha yahan par. So, I'm like, theek hai. I just want to enjoy aaj ka din.
But at the same time, are you trying to increase your skill set?
I think it's a natural process. It's an organic process. And anything that excites me now... Because you've done now once. Once you have taken the step of doing something which sounded so offbeat. Like, dude, MBA, brand manager, stand-up comedy kar rahe. Now you know you can do that. Nothing is way too offbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's just charvi. Like, ye bhi karke dekhte hai kya? So that's a childish excitement about doing something new.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm doing... Me and Varun are writing along with Vishal Dayama. And we are writing a web series now.
Crazy.
We've just started. We're very excited about that. My crowd work show tour is on. Hopefully at some point there'll be a crowd work special out.
I'm dreaming of that.
Dude. Yeah. And I have my stand-up comedy special also, which I'll be touring after I finish my crowd work, which is called Is This Even Comedy?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things to look forward. And there are a few other ideas which I'm like, It's just exciting, you know, there are ideas and this, it's, you know that, haan, ye bhi ho sakta hai. There is no doubt. There is no like, ye nahi ho sakta hai now. That's a great space to be in.
I want to ask you one thing that actually inspired me to start my own journey, which is LinkedIn. My manager, Viraj, actually told me that you should study Rahul Subramanian's LinkedIn. He's killing it. And I'm sure you get a lot of your career opportunities through that platform.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, since I've joined LinkedIn, my life has changed. Like,
tell na thoda aur, how has it changed?
So, my mentor, someone called Manish Pandey, he was pushing me to be on Twitter for a long time. And I just didn't want to be on Twitter for the same reason that you said, that it's too negative, ye wo.
Manish Pandey is a great cricketer also.
Not him, but yeah, we get that. This is Yogi Manish Pandey.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, he pushed me to be on Twitter and he's just like, any cool thought that you have in a day, just put it out there.
Mm.
Because you're always thinking entrepreneurially, you're always thinking podcast level. So just put out your thoughts. That's it. Take that 1 minute to type out something and put it out. So then once I started doing that, Twitter started like growing organically a lot.
Mm.
And then he told me the next step is LinkedIn. And a lot of my friends from the corporate world also told me that. They were like, LinkedIn is the corporate world's Instagram. Like people are always using LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And the nature of the LinkedIn platform is self-education. Like self-help, self-improvement, how to level up in life, which is exactly what my YouTube channel is about, my Instagram page is about. It's about improving in fitness, career, fashion, whatever. By the way, side note, the most viral post on LinkedIn for me are my fashion posts, which is weird because it's a professional platform. But anyway,
but you're damn good looking, no? So they're also human beings, no? Somewhere they also like looking at good people, good looking people.
Maybe, bro. Yeah. I don't know.
They're like changing the slides and like, oh, Ranveer. They do.
Yeah, it's like boring uncles on LinkedIn first and then suddenly one young guy pops up.
Yeah.
But LinkedIn has given me so many career opportunities. I've just been on it for 6 months.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we had like just 39,000 followers, which is not that much compared to like an Instagram or YouTube.
Okay.
But on LinkedIn, it's a huge number because it was 39,000. At least 5,000-6,000 of them are very, very influential CXOs, CEOs, CMOs. We get a lot of corporate opportunities. We get a lot of brand deals for our YouTube. Like a lot of PR people are discovering us off of LinkedIn.
Nice.
It's a difficult game to play. You have to learn how to play it.
Okay.
But once you do, it just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, bro, what have you learned about that platform? And do you think it's the platform of the future? Social media platform of the future?
So my reason for joining LinkedIn was completely different. I joined because I had got fed up of Twitter because it was too toxic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Way too toxic. And I didn't want that toxicity every day. That's why I deactivated my... I did not stop using it. I deactivated. I was like, I don't care if my followers go. I don't want to be on the platform. Mm. Then there was a void because I was using Twitter to post jokes every day, which is a mental it's an exercise for me to keep posting something. Mm. And Facebook was... They had reduced the reach and stuff. And that time, around that time, one of my friends who works for LinkedIn, he just told me, hey, Rahul, you posted this corporate joke on... Why don't you post this on LinkedIn? I was like, you can post jokes on LinkedIn? Like, yeah, but isn't it only for jobs? He's like, no, it's like a proper community medium. Like, you can post up status. That's how I started. I just started putting things because like, kahin na kahin to mera exercise hojega. And I was like, because it's LinkedIn, I was keeping it corporate specific.
Mm.
And then suddenly my post started getting lots of traction because I think there was a void. There was no one saying funny stuff there. Everyone was serious. So that I think maybe put me apart.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm liking the attention. So I'll do more. I kept doing it and it's fun. So I don't even put in extra effort in the sense to ensure that it drives business. But I'm sure it has helped. I'm sure that it has played. I'm sure a lot of people have come to my shows because...
Yeah.
They have followed me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of brands have approached my managers and management, like, let's do something with Rahul because I'm sure it is having its effect.
It's your X factor, like, technically in your career.
I was in the top, LinkedIn top voices of 2019. Do you know that?
No.
LinkedIn top voices of India, 2019. I think they have a 25 people list. And guess what? I was the only, I was there along with Sadhguru, Kiran Bedi, and all these like big honchos in this stand-up community.
Your void paid off.
Oh my God.
Having your Twitter void paid off.
Yeah, and I could have never dreamt something like that. I would have loved something like that when I was in the corporate world. Now it doesn't really, honestly, that list doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to be cocky, but it's just funny. You know, if I was in a corporate world, that would have been on my CV. Every interview I would start with. Now I'm like, it's there.
What are the negatives of the Indian corporate world that people don't know about, but only the people from, on, you know, the inside of the corporate world know?
I've been out of the corporate world for a while. When so might be my, whatever I say is slightly outdated. When I was there, from personal experience, I think there is very, it's a high pressure. It's like the train incident I said. Everyone is so much like, aise dekh rahe hai life ko, and they're in with so much pressure. They're like,
what pressure?
I think pressure of just going by every day without doing something wrong. They're scared to do something wrong. And they're, most people are confined by, like, if you do things which your boss doesn't hate, it's like you're surviving every day. You're not living every day, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a culture. It's a top-down culture. Upar rahega waisa to niche wohi flow hoga. So I think a lot of people are just, that's how they're going after, like, they're just surviving every day. Aaj ka din theek ho jaye. Oh, aaj ka din jo boss bola maine kar diya. Aaj ka din koi mere ko stinker na aaye, na koi kaam na aa jaye extra. That
stinker is like bad email.
A bad email, like, tumne ye kaam theek se nahi kiya. I think everyone's going, just trying to, like, dodge the bullet every day. No one's trying to just go sit back and say, hey, let's. And it's a cultural thing. It was during my time. So no one was like, no one gave importance to other aspects of life.
Yeah, dude, just my observation, all my friends from the corporate world don't take care of the health a lot.
Exactly.
Like a lot. Like, and this is seen as a general thing.
Yeah. I was very lucky in my corporate branding job. Like, I had a great team. My boss used to go hit the gym every day at 2 to 3. He used to tell us, 5 o'clock, 5:30, he was like, Rahul, go hit the gym now. Like, ye kaam baaki hai, kaam hota rahega. Hit the gym, take care of yourself, go for a run or something. So my team was exceptionally modern, or like, in that sense. But most people don't, man. They just,
too much smoking, too much drinking also. That's what I've seen in, like, a lot of my friends in the corporate world.
Even if you don't smoke or drink, it's just that, you know, there's no value for your personal life. And you're trained that way, and that's what you pass on.
How you train that way?
You see, you observe. If you're in an environment which does not value personal life, that's what you pick up. And that's what you start. 7 baje, 8 baje. Haan, work is important. You have to get, whatever it takes, get the work done. Whatever it takes. No. It's just one aspect of your life, work. Like right now, I can't take shows, whatever it takes. There will be days I'll say, I don't want to do a show. Because I don't want whatever it takes. Whatever I want, I will. You know? You balance it out. I think corporate world, a lot of people are stuck. And I think the mentality is changing. People, okay. HRs are becoming more aware of this. They are spreading, you know, they're bringing a culture wherein you have take care of yourself. Your health is also important.
This is a little wrong for me to say, but I just feel like 90s kids are healthier than 80s kids and more conscious.
Is it?
Probably because we've grown up with social media, dude. I don't know. But this is my observation.
I'm 80s kid.
Yeah. So
you're healthier than me. Fun fact, guys, me and Ranveer and I did a video together. That's the first time I met him.
Yeah.
Was demonetization AIB, one of my favorite videos. and in that, Ranveer plays the fitter me.
That was when I first met him.
That was the first time.
Basically, Rahul's a guy trying to get something done at a bank.
At the bank, yes.
And the bank manager says, nahi, aap sexy hoke aajao. And then you go under the table and I come out.
And then you push ups and then you come out. Yeah, I remember that.
That was like where I got to know you first, bro.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I was very nervous. And dude, you were damn kind to me on that day.
How was...
You were like really...
But you were beer biceps.
I was beer biceps with a lot of personal issues. Not the yogi beer biceps you know now.
Oh, what are you saying? I couldn't have
too guessed. Many like... I was putting too much pressure on myself to do well in my career. Which kind of used to find its outlet in the gym, outlet in powerlifting, outlet in abusing my body with too much wrong food, wrong habits, too much angst about, no, karke dikhana hai, karke dikhana hai, karke dikhana hai.
You know, corporate life, a lot of people go through the same thing, ki karke dikhana hai, and there is no end to karke dikhana hai. Kya karke dikhana hai? Nahi, nahi, ye karke. It's, they don't take a moment to pause and say, ki actually kya karna hai? Jo hai aage, wo karke dikhana hai. And when they do a lot of that, I think somewhere they neglect themselves, their personal life, their health.
Do they know that this is happening?
And it's a routine, huh? Don't think so. Like, it's just like, when you walk the whole day without being conscious about what is happening in the present, then it's a habit. And then it's very difficult to get out of the habit. I don't even think, it's like those two guys fighting in there. They're just going by life, you know? Yeah. it's never take a moment to pause, like, okay, kya, or, okay, I'm in office right now. You know, just to get aware, yeah. Oh, I'm in office now. Okay, I'll go back home. Okay, that's also a life. Yeah. That is also important. That gives me peaceful, no, peace of mind. Yeah. They just relax nahi karte yaar log.
Yeah. This is from my engineering college days. I'd done an internship at Ernst & Young. And it was finance engineering. Wow. Yeah, I don't know why.
Big four.
Yeah. In M&A, mergers and acquisitions, which is a very swanky department of EY.
Yeah.
And very positive work environment. I didn't sense any politics or toxicity or anything. There was a lack of health for sure.
Hmm.
Like everyone was like smoking all the time, eating a lot of junk food, all that. The second aspect I saw is like, that everyone was given few tasks to do, not that much. Like my boys in the edit room have way more work, okay? But the boys are very honest with their work. There, I felt like they were honest with showing their own bosses that I'm in office for a long time. So they would come at 9, aram se do work and stay till 9 o'clock. When I felt like the same work could have been finished by like even 2 p.m., 3 p.m. So that was just my observation. Again, can't generalize, I'm sure that...
Of course, yeah.
But
look,
there
are people in the corporate world who are balancing things really well.
Okay.
For sure. There are still people who are able to balance their personal life, their health, and do ace
Wonders.
Their work. And ace their work.
Yeah.
But the number has to grow.
Mm.
And I think the more these kind of people start taking high positions, it will flow down too.
Yeah. I hope that like 90s kids and late 80s kids also change it. Like...
Yeah. I think it's changing. Even look at the brands, no? The kind of brands that are, the kind of things the brands are putting out. They're okay making fun of themselves. They're okay being, you know, slightly informal, which also means you're freeing yourself. Which when you free yourself, you open yourself to way more perspectives.
Right.
And then you become more aware and you do, you know, that's, I think that's, it's happening. I don't know at what pace, only because I'm not part of the corporate. You actually deal with a lot of them.
I personally don't because it's just not my vibe. But I want to ask you because you've been on both the content side as a creator, plus you've been in that corporate world.
Mm.
Where do you see marketing in 2030?
Oh, God. Is there
anyone who can answer it? It's you.
This is a question I dreaded when I was working to. Something about my area of expertise, so-called. Dude, where do you see marketing? I think brands becoming more genuine. When I say genuine, real.
Ki hum 100% achche nahi hai.
Haan, exactly. We have flaws and becoming that. But also not over. Everything ka ek overdo ho jata hai. Then they, wo bhi, I think somewhere they have to find a balance. Because some will say, hum to kharab hai, bahut bol denge. To bolega, tik kharab hai, to humko chahiye nahi to. Wo extra bhi na kare. Just to gain brownie points na kare.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they will get way more genuine. I think they're going to use people more. Like brands have already started using
influencers.
Influencers, role models, brand, whatever. But in a more genuine way.
Got
it. Not like purana way in when you use a brand ambassador only for the face. Now they're actually finding people who exhibit the quality. Like Ranveer Singh is a great example of someone who is flamboyant, who is free, who doesn't, you know, who does what he wants in a sense that, and does not worry about doing the wrong things or right things. So brands, when they embrace them, these are brands who are also have a similar outlook.
Bro, for you, final question of this podcast. What is the best case life scenario for you at the age of 75?
At the age of 75?
Okay, I'm going to lower it. 50. 75 is I should be alive. My knees should be alive.
Yeah, that's right.
50.
At 50, I should be in one of the beaches in Florida.
Got it.
Getting suntan. Nice beer in my hand. not six packs, but at least like a fit body. Like, you know, lying down with a swimming trunks. A lot of women around me like, hey, have sex with me. And I'm like, not today, because I love those days too. But basically just staring at the beach and not thinking anything. And wow. Just enjoying the fact that there's nothing in my mind.
And saying, ye kya life hai?
But in a, with a positive term, the same thing. Like.
But when you look back at the age of 50, how would you like your career to pan out?
I don't care as long as I'm happy. I really don't care. I'm okay being the 750th best comedian in Bombay. As long as I am on that beach in Florida with my sunglasses, trunks, with a fit enough body and looking at the beach and just thinking nothing and just smile. I'm very happy doing that.
Rahul Subramaniam. Thank you, brother.
It's this a pleasure. Fun. I hope I didn't speak way too much.
No, no. That's what podcasts
edit
are about.
Edit it out and make me look good.
We will. Yeah. Guys, make sure you follow Rahul on his YouTube channel and on his Instagram and on his LinkedIn. Yes. I'll be linking all of it down below.
Yes. Thanks, so, man.
Thank you for being on the podcast, brother.
Awesome, man. Okay, see you. So good. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, chalo.